Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today we are welcoming Dr. Jan Lundy to the podcast. Jan is a lifelong educator, spiritual director, pastoral counselor, logotherapist, and grief companion with an interfaith, interspiritual emphasis. She lives in Michigan and recently founded the Meta Center, which specializes in offering grief companion training. So, Jan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure being here with you.
Yes, we're excited too. Well, maybe just to begin, you've come to this place in your life now where you specialize in grief and loss spiritual guidance, having both pursued training in this and now accompanying others in their own training. So I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a little bit more about that. What is grief and loss spiritual guidance, and how is it maybe different from grief counseling? What sort of qualities does a person maybe possess or encounter that makes them want to go into this line? We'd love to hear more.
Oh, thank you. Those are big questions. But I'll start at the beginning, because if you had asked me even 5 years ago what I would be doing, it would not be teaching grief companionship. This has been a surprise turn in my life, and it came because of the loss of my mother 2 years ago. So I think when people have a loss that is challenging, deeply heartfelt, it changes us. And it turns us in a direction that we might not have expected, because grief is a spiritual journey and it can be a clinical journey, which is what grief counseling is about. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But human beings are spiritual beings. And so when we lose things, people we love, the loss takes us to the deepest parts of ourselves. It invites us to ask the deepest questions about life, about how we're living, what we value, and how we're going to continue to live in the realm of this loss. Because grief and loss are not something we get over, which is something our culture teaches. Grief and loss is a new narrative. It's a new path, and we learn to integrate it into our lives so that our lives hopefully take on greater meaning and purpose. But it's quite the journey to get there. Many people have described grief as being a wilderness. And so a grief companion is someone who can stay by your side through the wilderness as you're learning to navigate this grief, the loss, whatever it might be. It can be the loss of a person through death, but it can also be the loss of health, the loss of a job, a dream, a relationship. We are constantly in a state of loss, some people might say. We are constantly letting go. We're constantly getting used to something different and maybe something we didn't want at all. And so who can companion us on that journey? A grief companion, someone who is specially trained in grief educationally, who also has a great capacity for holding presence and deep listening. And that's not everybody. Many people are deeply caring, but they love to give advice. Many people, and even people who love you, who are witnessing you going through your loss, want the best for you, but they may not know how to listen deeply, and their listening may tire. They may have an agenda to move you through more quickly than you are actually feeling. And a grief companion honors where you are, stays by your side, meets with you on a regular basis, and more than anything, holds your grief story and your grief journey as sacred. So counseling is very clinical. There's a goal. There's usually a protocol. There's a timeline. And these are all things that may be necessary if someone is in acute grief or has trauma associated with grief. But believe it or not, most people, at least 86% of people, are highly resilient. And they make it through the terrain of grief in pretty good stead. But we could be doing a lot better, because in our culture, we do not talk about grief. We don't talk about death. It's very much behind closed doors. But people need support. And also many people are hesitant to go to a counselor, just even a counselor regularly, right? They think that something's wrong with me. And grief is very normal. It's who we are as human beings, to live and to love and to lose and to love again.
Jan, I appreciate you naming the broad scope of grief, that it can be certainly the loss of a loved one, but loss of dreams, health, etc. And just thinking back in my 30s, I walked through quite a bit of grief, both losing a parent, but also infertility. And as we were going through adoption training, one segment of that was on grief. And just it seemed like everywhere I was turning, this theme of grief was coming up in some places that were maybe a little bit of a surprise for me. And so I'm curious, in your line of work, again, we tend to maybe think of grief as the death of a loved one, but as you're more broadly expanding that and companioning others, I'm curious to hear how that plays out with folks that you meet with.
Yeah. And this happens in three ways, I think. One is, just like you said, Christina, once we're awakened to the fact that grief and loss is everywhere and everybody's going through it, some aspect of grief in their life, I absolutely guarantee you, if you stop people in the supermarket and ask them, what have you lost recently? What are you feeling sad about? What are you mourning? They can name something. So it's in casual encounters. It's with friends. It's the core of grief companioning is being able to receive someone's grief story and to hold it, not to carry it, to hold it, and then to do so as long as is necessary in the way that they want it done. And then a person could come to me as a spiritual director, pastoral counselor, to say, can I talk with you specifically about my grief journey? Absolutely. So that's a client type of session, which is formal. And they might come once a week, every other week, once a month. They determine the scope of that. Or as a spiritual director, which I have been for 22 years, people entrust the relationship and they trust you. So when loss comes into their life, they naturally will talk to you about it. What I discovered, though, is that most spiritual guide companions, directors, are not trained in grief companionship. The formal training programs don't offer grief companionship, and it takes a very special type of training to be able to navigate these kinds of conversations.
This is all so very helpful. And so thank you so much for sharing all of this. I noticed when I was on the website, it's metacentertraining.com. There's this whole quote about listening, and you've been mentioning a little bit about listening. So just this little part of it says, our journey of loss and pain is made easier with the presence of one who genuinely cares, listens deeply, holds space for healing to happen. And then it keeps going. One whose compassion is boundless and whose listening never tires. And I just thought, what a big deal to be able to develop the skill of listening without being tired. That's huge. So I was wondering, could you tell us a bit more about what that might look like? What allows us to become that sort of a person?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, most of us have limited listening, don't we? We're not so patient. We want people to get to the point and move on. So it is a deep cultivation of specific listening skills. Key to that, I think, is first knowing how to listen to yourself and noticing what you hear inside yourself as you are listening to someone else, and learning how to just literally set that aside, to notice, maybe name what's going on and set it aside, because this is about them. So it's like creating this huge open space in you, like carving out a hollow in the front of your body to just receive and to hold their story. And so it takes presence, which also means warmth, genuine curiosity, wonder and awe at the mystery of their journey, and a sense of solidity, I think, also knowing how to manage your emotions well, because sometimes we hear very difficult things. We hear heartbreaking things. And so we have to be able to modulate our own emotions and to stay present to them, because this is a gift of service to them. Later, we can deal with our own emotions. We can feel the sadness, but it's a cultivation of empathy, which is natural for humans, most humans anyway, and then a deeper cultivation of compassion. And the difference is that compassion involves an act which relieves the suffering of an individual. And believe it or not, in grief companioning, the greatest degree of suffering that is relieved happens when you receive someone's story, that they can just say it and talk about it as long as they need to, again and again, until there's a clearing inside themselves and maybe a sense of a direction or something they need to do for themselves, something they need, a ritual they might create to facilitate their mourning, a new way to enter and be into the world. But we trust that the receiving of the story and the offering of presence and deep listening invites that to happen naturally as a very organic process.
Jan, I just really appreciate the images that you've offered, the metaphors, the explanation. And I think part of the curriculum for your training that you offer involves taking time to befriend your own grief and allowing that grief to change you. And there seems to be a very personal aspect being emphasized and then connected to how one companions others through grief. And I like that word befriend. I particularly am a person who avoids pain at all cost. And I've had my own journey with grief, but I would consider it more of a wrestling match of which grief has won. But I like the word that you use to befriend. I think that could be helpful. And so maybe you can talk a bit about that and what the importance of that personal journey is.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that you picked up on befriending too, because that's a word that people might not naturally want to attach to grief, to say, why do I want to befriend my grief? I want to avoid this at all costs. But you're befriending the invitation. You're befriending a greater sense of the love that may be there because of grief. Grief and love are completely like, they're like two sides of the same coin. Unless you love something, you're not going to grieve it. And we realize that somehow I have to make peace with this. And we enter slowly. There's processes that we encourage people to do, which are called dosing your grief, which you might wrestle a little bit and then step back out of the wrestling match, Chris. You engage, you disengage. This is a really healthy way of engaging grief, because I think many of us feel that if we dive into grief, we will lose ourselves and we just won't come back out again. But in actuality, with a trained companion, you can learn to enter in, spend some time there, befriend, be gentle with yourself, compassionate with yourself, nurture yourself, honor your feelings, express the emotions you need to express, and then step back out again. And so it is a process that takes time. That's why I say the presence is important, the listening is important, because this takes time. It can take years to unpack a grief. And many people do. Sometimes they come to companioning and they realize that they never grieved a loss that they had 20 years ago. There was a lot of my journey too. I had a lot of loss in my life, beginning in my early 20s. And I just kept moving. I kept leaning into the wind, as my spiritual director would say. You've been leaning into the wind for a long time, even experiencing some of the things you talked about, Christina. And then there came a loss that was so profound and took a long time to navigate, the actual leaving, my mom's leaving the earth and being with her for 10 years every step of the way as her care provider. And then the last 5 days of her life being right with her every single moment and watching, witnessing, bearing witness to this process of what it means to leave the earth, to leave your physical body, and then what? And that has taken 2 years for me to fully unpack, and I'm still unpacking it. I still have what are called grief bursts, where you can be standing in the grocery store and you're looking at a tomato in your hand and all of a sudden you start crying and you don't understand why, because tomatoes, your mother loved tomatoes. So it's a journey. And Chris, I appreciate that you said you're wrestling with it, because that's what a lot of us do. We wrestle, but it's okay to wrestle, knowing that the days do change. They morph. We become more integrated with our grief. And actually, we can synthesize and transcend our grief we can uncover greater meaning in life because of the loss we've been through.
Jen, thank you for sharing some of your story and sharing your mother with us on the podcast and some of that. I'm curious, and you had mentioned earlier, and I think you're right, when we have a companioning relationship with someone, when there is a loss, there's that trust there, and people do bring that to us in various sessions that we have with them. And so I'm curious what wisdom you would offer to know, okay, yes, I can journey with this person, or this is a little bit beyond my scope and training as a spiritual guide, and it might be worth either referring them to someone else or having some ongoing training. So I wonder if you have some wisdom to offer us along those lines.
Yes, of course. It requires deep listening. First, it requires grief education. You have to know how grief works and the types of grief, because there are many. For example, when I began to be aware that my mother was in the last couple of years of her life, I started feeling anticipatory grief. What is it going to feel like when she's gone? That's something you can navigate pretty well. But let's say, for example, you witness a very difficult parting of someone you love. It was very traumatic. It was very sudden, maybe, or unexpected. Sometimes those come with the symptoms of trauma. And as a companion, you need to know the symptoms of trauma. And so if you see those in individuals, then I wouldn't hesitate, if those symptoms were fairly strong, to suggest that they talk to a professional counselor who's a clinician, because they can provide medication if needed. They can do cognitive behavioral therapy if needed. They can do EMDR if it's needed. So there are protocols that deal with those. And so you're always on the lookout for, is this a complicated grief? Was the relationship really difficult, for example, and there's a lot of emotion around it that isn't getting resolved by conversation and companionship? The other thing is to make sure you can help do this, make sure the person has a good support system, a daily support system, because you are not that as a companion in this spiritual role. You are not with them on the day to day, but to work with them to make sure they have that support network in place. I don't hesitate to refer people, though, especially if I sense depression that is abnormal, and because people should be seen medically for that. And so it's a knowing of how this works in people, when it is following a mid-range and when it's gotten off rail. And then it's very wise to involve other people in this process.
That's also helpful. And it brings me back to a few moments ago when we talked about the need for someone to tell their story. So it seems like there's a little bit of a difference between, I just need to tell the story maybe from a different angle or perspective or for another reason, versus depression. And so maybe we can just talk a little bit more. What is the beauty and the meaning? Like, how do we really get a sense of that? Do you have any words of wisdom there?
Every person is different and every person's grief is different. So we have to really be curious about it and warm and open to it, to allow its voice to be heard. Grief is the teacher. Grief itself is the teacher. And so we have to create the environment for that to happen. An example would be, a woman came to me last year because she had heard that I had received training and was companioning people formally in grief. And she said, I've been in therapy for the past couple of years since my good friend died. And my therapist says I'm stuck. My therapist says my grief is stuck and I put it in a box on the shelf and I can't access it. What I know is, not all counselors are trained in grief. That's not a protocol that they sometimes have classes in and special training in. So what I invited her to do was very simple. Tell me about your friend. Tell me about your friend. What was she like? What did she look like? What were her gifts? What were her talents? The story started to unfold and all the emotion came forward. And it was just a few sessions. And she said, I just can't even believe how different I feel. I'm actually feeling joy again because I could talk about my friend. So sometimes it's something that simple to know that, let's just give you space to talk about what this person meant to you. What did they love? What were they like? Tell me about special times you had together. And the story pours out, and it'll keep pouring. It'll keep pouring. I can't even tell you how many stories I've been spending so much time, it seems, the past 2 years remembering my mother in all these different ways and all the different ages that I was and that I experienced her. And the full breadth of her life has just become so rich to me. And yes, is the missing great? Absolutely. But so is the appreciation. And I feel like the love has grown because the sorrow has been mitigated by the blessings and the gifts that came as a result of being her daughter, because she was the kind of person she was. But it takes time. It takes time.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's occurring to me that some people may be interested in learning even more. If they were interested in pursuing training, how would they do that? If they maybe can't go all the way to training, but would like to dive into resources, do you have any of those types of recommendations? How might people get in touch with you, or where else might they explore?
Yes, thank you. Metta Center Training is the website, and the next training begins in the fall. It is a 4-month training in a practicum, so that you are gaining your listening skills with others. You are doing your own grief work in a company of others that are going to hold you compassionately. And you begin to receive grief stories from a sampling of people that you bring in. And so an intense, robust program, I will say, but it has to be, because the nature of grief is profound and life-changing. There are many wonderful books out there and resources. I hope to start a podcast this summer, if I'm lucky, about grief, called A New View, A New Way to Look at It, A New Way to Approach It. It's a very important conversation that needs to happen in our culture today, because loss is manifesting itself in so many ways that we're seeing it in depression, in anxiety, in the sense of separation, pushing away from others, isolation, loneliness. These are all symptoms of grief. And a lot of it is post-pandemic grief. And so I hope that people will, you can even go on YouTube and you can find wonderful TED Talks on grief that can open the door for you. But grief companioning is a fairly new thing. So there aren't too many programs out there. So you may have to search, but you can do a Google search. But yes, love to have anybody who's interested contact me for conversation about if this might be right for them as a practitioner. And for example, in the new cohort that we started just this past month, there are spiritual directors, there are life coaches, there are chaplains, there are pastors, there are people who all want, hospice volunteers who want deeper training in this because they know how important it is.
Thank you so much, Jan. It's so good to hear all these things and have time to even just begin process and to consider. So we really appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
And now is the part of our podcast where we take a moment to talk about what we are into. So what are we into today?
I am into a movie that was super impactful as a kid, called The Hoosiers. And The Hoosiers is about a basketball community in Indiana. And I think there are real life parallels that have happened with our family and our community. Our middle child just won their championship tournament, having faced quite a bit of opposition. And there's some themes that there was a death and loss where the basketball community and Hoosiers rallied around this team. And some of that was true for our young people. And so I just love basketball. I love basketball this time of year. And I'm just thinking about the impactful story of, I think it's an actual true story of the Indiana Hoosier basketball team.
I will build off of that. I am into the March Madness brackets, which I have never been into really before. But as Chris has shared, our family is very much into basketball. And so I, by way of living with these humans, have also gotten into basketball. And so last night I filled out my bracket with my 8-year-old. So there's multiple brackets going on with our teens and Chris, et cetera. But fun to decide who we think is going to win and be into that space. So we will be watching March Madness.
Oh, I love that your family is all into basketball. It's been a long time, but I had a friend in high school who had grown up part of her life in Indiana. So she was a big Hoosiers fan, and we would watch games together on the phone. That has not happened in adult life, but it used to happen. I am into this Good Earth spicy matcha tea. So I went to the store, and you know how sometimes you just have that feeling of, I want something. I don't know exactly what. Maybe like green tea, but not exactly green tea. And it was literally like the only box. Everything else had sold out and it was just sitting there. And I thought, okay, this sounds cool. Let's give this a try. And we brought it home and it was like our Saturday night drink because I like to take it easy on Saturday night. And it was delightful. I am so excited about this tea. So that is what I am into. Thank you, everyone, for being with us, and we will look forward to being with you again soon.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.